Welcome to the ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again. And you're doing it on purpose. You're honoring the Lord, and the Lord knows these things. He knows when you're serving Him, and He knows when you're giving Him glory and when you're honoring Him. And the Bible says those that honor the Lord, He will honor in return. And He does. If you know anything about your past and you've given God glory, the Lord does repay you for that, doesn't He? He answers us in the joy in our hearts. He does. And today we've been talking about, in our study, the letter U, study number 21 in the ABCs, and it's unity. Now, unity is something that is strange in the world now. It's one of the biggest truths in the Bible that Satan is trying to turn upside down and deceive the entire world about, is what unity is. The Bible has one thing to say about unity, and it does talk about unity very much so. The Lord talked about unity when He was here, and the Old Testament talks about unity, and the New Testament talks about unity. But what the Word of God talks about concerning unity is completely different than what the world's talking about. Now, this unity that's coming about, the last thing that we talked about in our study was man's first attempt at unity, remember? And we talked about the United Nations and the unity that's come to the world is trying to bring about and has been trying to bring about for the last couple generations. And this one world religion and one world government and one world unity that everybody's talking about. And it's going to come about, but it's not going to be a unity like what the Bible talks about, and the unity, the true unity that the Scriptures talk about, and the unity that the world is going to bring about, or is bringing about, is not going to be something that the Christian's going to be interested in. Not if you're serving the Lord. You're going to have to be an apostate. You're going to have to you're going to have to walk away from the Lord in order to get along with that kind of unity. And not that it's because you love the Lord and you want to serve Him. So this unity that the world's bringing about is something that the Scriptures teach the Christian to not be like. And it's just like what the world thinks about Christian unity. They think the same thing about Christian unity as the Christian thinks, the true Christian, the Bible believer, thinks about world unity or unity among men. Now, we talked about man's first attempt at unity, and you remember when we was talking about that back in Genesis chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 9? In Genesis chapter 9 is when Noah, God commanded Noah and his sons to replenish the earth and to spread out. Go everywhere on the earth that you can live, and everywhere, go get you a piece of land and like it and love it and build your house and have your family and make plenty of babies. And grow and multiply. That's what the Lord told him. That's what the Lord wanted for man. And what could be better for man? What would be the best scenario that you can think of? Having your own place, having your own property, having your own family, being as perfect as you can be down from Adam, starting over on the earth and no troublemakers around, and go spread out. Well, what'd they decide to do? Well, they were all together. They all spoke one language, and they all had, the Bible says they all had one speech. They were all talking about the same thing. They wasn't talking about, thus saith the Lord, what did the Lord say? They were talking about what they wanted among themselves. And what did end up coming out? They ended up in a place called the Plain of Shinar. And when they got there, they decided to stay there and build some things, to build a city and also build a tower. And they're still doing that today. It's strangely enough, it's still going on right in front of your face today. The main thing and one of the biggest things and topics of the world is the building of a city. And the building of what? Towers. One of the one of the, what do you want to call it, world records or something like that, that everybody still competes on. I just seen one the other day they were talking about. It's towers. Who can build the tallest tower? And, man, they're still shooting for it. Everybody's still trying to build the tallest tower. And they don't even know. They don't even know what the scriptures say about it. And it's still, it could have been anything, any subject, any monument, any this, any that, but it's the same exact two things that Genesis talks about when man started trying to have unity without God. Without God. And they wanted to build cities, and or a city, and they wanted to build a tower. Now, that city, that man, it represents or it was an attempt to bring about political unity. They come together and they make the decisions and they have a government and they do this and man does it. And, oh yeah, God's over there, but this is our city and we're doing this. And then the tower is religious unity. Rather than knowing that God has humbled himself and came down here as a man, or come down here, God coming to man, and man being limited, of what he can do, has to build a stinking tower so he can get to God. So he, I'm going to get to you, Lord. I'll come see you. You don't come see me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we talked about that, and the Lord was disappointed in that. He didn't like it. The scripture says he didn't like it because he came down and looked at this city and he looked at this tower. And you know what he said? He said, they all have one language and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. They're going to imagine all kind of stupid stuff and get started going the wrong way again. So what'd he do? He confused their languages. He come up with a couple different other languages, the Asians and the Mongolians, and he also came up with just all kind of languages that are, and that's another thing that's in front of men's faces that they don't realize. Why are there so many different languages now? Well, it's because God changed them, because God made the languages. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes. Man has everything right in front of his faces as history and evidence of exactly what the scripture says, and he won't look at it. He's blind. He can't see it. It's right in front of his face. He can't see it. He's blinded to the things of God and spiritually dead and without God in the world, the Bible says. But we talked about that. Today we're going to go into another area of unity that the scriptures talk about, and that's man's final attempt at unity. The Bible talks about the first attempt of man and gives us what the beginning of it was, how it came about, what God thought of it, and how it ended up. Okay. Well, the Bible also tells us and prophesies in the last days that there's going to be another attempt at unity. And unity in the scripture, or unity in the world today. I mean, it's right now. It's coming about right now, this unity. And where is it? Well, unity is kind of like today in society. Right now, as we're talking, unity in society right now is kind of like a woman that's fixing to bear a child. Okay, well, conceives, and then the child grows, and it 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 gets toward the end of the gestation period, and it begins to, you're fixing to be born. Okay, well, what begins then? Well, to bring that child forth, she has to go through a period called contractions. She has to get, everything has to get ready, and all the pain has to come back, and the suffering, and all this has to happen, and everything has to happen, and all of a sudden, she brings forth the child. That right there is a good example of where society is right this very minute, fixing to bring forth the Antichrist. That's what's happening. The society as far as unity goes, is going through a bunch of contractions right now, and pain and suffering and all this stuff going on and going on and going on. And then all of a sudden, it's going to bring forth the Antichrist. And the Lord's going to come and get us. But right before that, and we're going to get out of here, the Lord's going to take us out of here, and that's when it's going to happen, that Antichrist is going to come forth. That's kind of like what it is right now. When you look around in society as far as unity goes, it's like man is contracting, trying to bring forth this unity of the world that he wants. Okay? Now, in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and it's singular. It's called Revelation. I've heard some, there's been people that that call it Revelations. It's not that. It's Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, the book of the Revelation, chapter 6 through 19, cover the future events which going to take a place, which is going to take place on the earth after the rapture. Chapter 6 through 19 talk to us and teach us about the things that are going to happen after that, after the rapture. And also over the seven-year period of the tribulation known as Daniel's 70th week, or the time of Jacob's trouble, it's also called. Now, without going into great detail, we remember we're studying the ABCs, and there's plenty to know in the scriptures. We can always learn more and more and stack truth upon truth upon truth upon truth. And as long as you're serving the Lord and studying His Word, God the Holy Ghost will do that for you. But we have to learn the ABCs first. Now, without going into detail and studying Bible prophecy, that is, it becomes apparent that in these godless days that we're living in now, that there's going to arise some form of unity. The Bible says that. You're going to have millions and millions and billions of people all thinking and one speech and one language. And they've already made software and done all the technology about people understanding one another all over the world today. They got a software right this very minute that you can put on your phone and your computer and everything else, and when somebody speaks to you, they speak into that thing, and it speaks in your language to you, and then you speak to it, and it speaks to them in their language, and you completely understand one another. That's right now. That's what's going on right now. And you know what it's called? Babylon. The software is called Babylon. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? What did they call the first place during the first attempt at unity? The city they were going to build in the plain of Shinar. They called it Babel. Babel. Okay? So that there's going to be some kind of unity arise, but it'll be a unity like the first attempt. It's going to be, it'll be an attempted false unity without God. The world does not want God. And especially now, when I was a boy, the world, even if you did not want anything to do with God, you still feared Him. Everybody believed in God. And that's the way society was. And since I was a boy up until now, say one or two generations have passed, up until now, it's completely different. The world is not in that frame of mind anymore. The world is in a frame of mind of put God out. And not even in a nice way. Cuss God out and put Him out. It's kind of in society now concerning God. Now, there are believers, and there are people that love God in the world, but even the church is kind of nicely putting God out. Yeah. But in society is changing now in this generation that we're living in right now, in 2021. Man, popular science used to say that in the old days and put that on a cover with a spaceship and all that kind of stuff. You remember that? You remember that? Some of you people are old. The one talking to you is. But isn't it something? But society is right now not only want God out, they don't want God in their thinking, in their conscience, in their mind, the Bible says. And the Bible says that's going to come about. That's going to happen. So let's talk a little bit about man's final attempt at unity. Not a whole lot. Just what the Bible says, and go over some scripture in Revelation and see what the scripture says about this unity that's going to try to come about, or is going to come about. But it's a false unity, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to wind it up for them when this unity that comes about and everybody gets together, one language, and everybody's talking about the same one speech. And it's funny what that one speech is going to be. It's going to be, let's get rid of God. Let's completely and utterly get rid of God, and let's finally get rid of them Jews. And that's where they're going to end up, is over there, and they're going to try to get rid of them Jews finally and once and for all. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody says, well, where is he? Where is God? Where is he? Everybody talking about God coming and blah, 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 blah. Where is he? That's when he's going to show up and every eye is going to see him, the Bible says. And he's going to show them what he's been talking about in his written word all these thousands of years, and given man plenty of time to accept him. And he's going to come down here, and he's going to wipe them out. He's going to wipe them out. The Bible says the blood is going to flow to the bridle of the horses. It's going to be that deep in this place called Armageddon. The Bible says that the Lord, when the Lord's finished, that he's going to have their blood all over him, and that we're going to have the blood on us, and we're going to help him. We're going to be with him. And it says he's going to destroy them with the sword of his mouth, and he's going to destroy them, and then he's going to burn them. He's going to let the birds come in and eat them up, and then he's going to set up his kingdom and go over there and sit on his throne in Jerusalem that they denied him when he came as a babe the first time. So knowing all that, this is where the world's coming together, and the devil's trying to get the world together and going to try to finally take God out. And he's going to try to sit on the sides of the north like he talked about in the beginning, whenever he wanted to take over God's throne and take over God's authority. But the Lord's got it all set up, and it's going to come about, and it is coming about. And I don't know how anybody can't see it. And I mean, anybody that's saved, how anybody today can see these changes coming about and not try to completely draw nearer to the Lord and get on his side so you can be secure on his side, being mixed up with one foot in the world and one foot in the Bible. Man, that's got to be a miserable way to live nowadays. It sure does. And praise the Lord for his word, and praise him for his, the Lord will take care of you if you'll just commit to him, and your allegiance, give him your allegiance and your devotion, and read his word. The Lord will take care of you. He will. And he's going to take care of us. But let's look at some of it. Man's final attempt at unity. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, these are the saints that are going to be during the tribulation period, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Did you get that? Over three different things here. Kindreds, tongues, all languages, all families, and all nations. That pretty well covers it. So we're talking about the entire world. And we're talking about this person that we just mentioned a while ago, the Antichrist that comes in. And it was given unto him. The Lord gave him power to do this, and is allowing this stuff to happen because he's already prophesied in the Old Testament what he's going to do to them and how he's going to bring it about. He's going to gather all nations together and bring them to Jerusalem and destroy them. And even with that book on this earth for them to read and understand and be warned about it, they're going to fall right into that and do it. And it was given unto them to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given but was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So we see there in Revelation 13:7 that this Antichrist, he in chapter 13, verse 7, well, he's called the beast. He's called the beast. And Revelation chapter 13, verse 7, the beast, the Antichrist, will exercise political power over all kindreds, all tongues, and all nations, all of them. That includes everybody that's here. They're not going to be no exceptions. Everybody has their ideas about what the mark is and this and that and the other. And if you study the Bible, you can get pretty close about things like that. But talking about all that kind of stuff, it's all everything that people come up about this Revelation time and about the Great Tribulation and all these things. Really, they're all stacked up under the topic of unity. Of unity. Because that's what the Bible says is going to be the biggest false thing in the world is unity. The Bible says about the devil, he who deceived the entire world. Yeah. And how did he deceive them? Through unity. Through unity. Let's all come together. Let's all be one. Let's all think the same thing and speak the same thing and imagine the same thing and do the same thing and want for each other and everybody gets equal. Take from the rich and give to the poor and take blah, 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 blah. And everybody's got an idea about it. But God's going to bring it forth and the devil's going to do it. But talking about who's going to be involved in all this, this final attempt at unity, well, the Bible says all kindreds, all tongues, and all nations. Okay, and that's not all. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, the Bible says, and there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations, drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So everybody's involved in this. And who is this interesting city? It's called Babylon. Babylon. And this is where the scriptures are talking about the angels flying through heaven saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So you see, there's going to be one city that's in complete control. It's called Babylon. And it is indeed a city, and it's going to control the entire earth, all nations, tongues, and kindreds. So it's not going to be a matter of people not being able to talk to each other. You can already see that in society, all languages. There's going to be communication all over the earth. You say, like, for instance, the two prophets that are going to be killed during the tribulation. And everybody, as the Bible says, everybody on the earth is going to rejoice over it and give each other presents all over the earth. Well, how in the world can that happen unless everybody speaks the same language and communication can be all over the earth? Well, you're living in the days and times that it's coming about. The world is having contractions and it's fixing to bring all that forth. You can see it if you're walking in the Spirit and you know the truth of what the Word of God says. You can see it. It's there. It's not coming. It's there. All languages are coming together and squeezing together, and it's there. You can see it. It's coming. It's not perfected yet, but it's coming. There's a rocket that goes up in the air, at least once a month, now. Used to, I remember, it took years and years and years, and the Saturns and the this and the that's and the Apollos and all them rockets were going up. There's a rocket that goes up. There's private investors or private companies, not NASA, just NASA. There's private companies now that are sending rockets up. And they when they send them up, they're taking 100 satellites up there at a time. For what? For communication. to have internet everywhere on the earth, even in the jungle. You can go in the jungle and have internet. You could be lost in the most in the jungle out the middle of where nobody's ever been before. Dun, 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 and have internet. That's communication. That's language. What do you need internet for? To communicate. How do you communicate? With words. Communication. So we see in Revelation chapter 14 that the center of this political unity, remember the city and the tower? The city was for political unity, remember? That the center of this political unity in the second attempt, or the last attempt, the final attempt of unity, is going to be called Babylon. Babylon. Okay? That's not all. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, let me read it to you. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So we see that the Bible talks about that the city sets upon, the seven angels, one of them came and he had the seven vials. Now there are judgments that go on, the seven vials, the seven seals, and the seven trumpets. Okay, and these things are all used during the tribulation period, and they're called the trumpets and the vials and the seals, and each one of them is going to have a different judgment, one of God's judgments involved with it, and that's going to be poured out. The vials are going to be poured out. The trumpets are going to be sounded. They're going to blow the trumpet and blow the trumpets. And, of course, the seals are going to be opened. Okay? And there are judgments on the earth. And each one of them happens in the book of Revelation, intermingled with one another. As you read the book of Revelation, they don't pass from seals to judgments to trumpets. They are actually all intermingled at once. We'll get into all that some other time. But anyway, the judgments. Okay, and it says, There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Well, we see that it's talking about a great whore now. Now, what is the bride called? The bride of Christ. That's us. That's all the people that have been born again, saved by grace. We're called a chaste virgin. A chaste virgin. This is called a great whore. Okay? That's what the Bible says. All right, but looking at it, in Revelation chapter 17, the great whore, the great one-world religious system of the last days is referred to as this right here, the great whore. Now, we identify this as a religious system because of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20 through 22. Listen to what it says. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I have her, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Okay, we see that this religious system is going to be like the angel was showing John, and he showed the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Okay, and it's interesting that the Bible says here and shows us in great contrast what the great whore is called, that the devil brings up the the system and the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, the Bible says, that God's going to judge, in contrast to what the church is called, pure, chaste, virgin. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have..." See, there's such thing as godly jealousy. Did you hear that? Just a little side note for you. "I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband." Now, he's talking to the church. He's talking to us. Okay, and who's that one husband? The Lord Jesus Christ. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Chaste virgin to Christ. So you see the contrast there between what this great whore that's going to be in the last days, this religious system of the last days, and the church. And what the Bible never compares them as contrast. It's completely opposites. It's polar. It's polar. It's completely out of left and right, black and white, salt and pepper, completely different. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 through 27, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." That's what's going on with me and you right this exact moment. We're being washed by the word. Okay? "That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." That's where we're headed. We still have these bodies on us, these sinful bodies, and they're going to die, and they're corrupt, and they're going to go into the grave unless Christ comes and we're raptured out and changed. We shall be changed. Okay? But unless that happens, we're going to go into the dirt, and they're going to put us to the ground with a shovel. That's what's going to happen because these bodies are sinful. But our soul and our spirit are holy, the Bible says. Do you get that? And let's look at one more. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." What the Bible say that we're going to be arrayed in? That we're going to be arrayed in? Linen, clean and white. "Arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Okay? All right. Well, and getting back to our study, man's final attempt at unity, and you see the contrast there, you see the difference of what's going to be during the tribulation period of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters versus the church and the Lord coming to get us and get us out of here before judgment. Now, there's a lot of people that think that we're not going to leave before the judgments, but the Bible says that that anybody that has received Jesus Christ as their Savior shall not come into condemnation and is not under the wrath of God anymore. The Bible says that lost people and people that have rejected Christ are headed, well, God's wrath abides on them, the Bible says. God's wrath does not abide on us anymore. We're under God's grace. And God sees us completely different than he sees the ungodly. He sees them with as far as a judge, and his wrath abides on them. It's just a matter of time, and they're going to get it. And so were we. But now that we're under God's grace, and we're under his son's blood, we get his grace and his kindness. So during this time of tribulation, we're going to be gone. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be participating in the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be participating in the judgment seat of Christ. This is a judgment seat that has not got anything to do with condemnation. It's not going to be condemning you. It's going to be judging your works of after you were born again, what you did in the body for Christ during your time of being in God's family while you were in the body. And you're going to be, it's going to be a time of, there will be sadness and there's going to be tears there because you're going to see what you could have done for him and what you didn't do for him and some of your choices that you made. And I'm speaking for myself. But there's also going to be rejoicing. And he's going to pass out crowns. He's going to give out gifts, gold, silver, and precious stones, and all the wonderful things that the Lord, you think, giving a present out, the Lord knows how to give things out. And we're going to be rewarded, the Bible says. And how God could come up with something to give us any kind of reward at all is beyond any of our understanding to begin with after what Christ did for us. The Bible says, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I'm glad about if there's only one thing that I had to rejoice about, that would be it, is that my name's written in heaven. Yours? Yeah? Amen. So we see that the beast, the Antichrist, is going to exercise political power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. And there has to be some kind of attempt at unity in order to do all that with all languages, all families, and all nations. You see that? Okay. And then the center of this political unity is called a place called Babylon. Okay. And we see that it also talks about a city. And Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, is this a great one-world religious system. Remember we talked about that during the first time they tried to get together, the city and the tower. Okay, and the last days referred to as the great whore, which is exactly opposite of what God calls the saved. Christ's bride, which is us. All right, that's not all. Let's look at just a few more things here, just to get down this final attempt, that there's going to be a final attempt, and it's contracting right now. It's bringing him forth right now. You can see it. Man, things are changing in, I don't know how to say it, you talk about change and everybody wanting change. And I've heard that all my life from society and everything else. Change is, change that, something new, want something new, change. Well, man, they're really talking about it now. But the difference is that change is happening. Change is happening about money, how you use money. Change is happening about political. We got candidates for running for president that stand up there and talk about each other's dirty, filthy life, and it ain't like when we was children, everybody respected one another and wouldn't dare say anything like that, you know. But now we have people that have actually rushed the Capitol building, and they called it insurrection, where all these people rushed the Capitol building and attacked the Capitol building. America's the biggest shame in the world right now. All the countries are laughing at it, and should be, because it used to be the greatest country in the world, but it wasn't the greatest country in the world because of anything political. It was greatest country in the world because of something spiritual, and that is God was here. But just like we was talking about, things changing, things have changed. God is not honored in the schools. They kicked him out. They took him out of all the textbooks. They stopped the children from praying, stopped everybody from talking to God, have taken everything and out of America concerning the Lord, at least the truth of the Lord, and have brought in a false unity, a false religious system. And it is contracting right now into perfection, the United Nations and all that kind of stuff, and the World Council of Churches, if that's the way you say it. They got a council now that tells you what a church ought to be, and blah, blah, blah. They've had it for a while, but anyway, man coming together to make these big decisions for everybody, for all kindreds, for all tongues, and for all nations. This is not something new or something that we didn't know. The scriptures have talked about this for thousands of years. And we know it. We got it right here written in front of us in the same book that tells us our Savior bled for us and died for us and resurrected for us. And we can believe it, understand it, and know that it's going to come about and not be scared of it. The Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Shall be safe. And that's who I'm trusting in. I don't know who you're trusting in. Well, I do. I know you're here and you're trusting in the same Lord that I'm trusting in. And I'm glad about that. Now, God identifies this one church, one world, the church of the Antichrist. Remember we talked about him. And that's what society is trying to bring forth right now, is this Antichrist. All these troubles and all these contractions, all these tsunamis, all these earthquakes, all this breaking up here and all the countries that are fighting and all the murders and the mass shootings and the this and the that and the other. And something's got to happen. And it's coming forth. The contractions are happening. And the Bible, the Lord, identifies this one world church of the Antichrist as Mother Babylon. Mystery Babylon. I said Mother Babylon. It's Mystery Babylon. Yeah. Yeah, but you'll see where I got mother from in a minute. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 5, listen to this. It says, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." Let me say that again. "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." So we see that this is the church of the Antichrist, the great political the political system of the last days. Okay. Talking about Mystery Babylon the Great. Babylon the Great. So we see the ruler that's going to come about and where it's going to be. All right. And that's not all. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and 15 says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest were where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." It said, are peoples, that's all people, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So we read that a while ago about the waters that sitteth upon many waters. Well, the waters, the angel said, is the people, the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So according to that, in Revelation 17, 1 and 15, this religious system sits upon people, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. It is truly worldwide unity, or at least what they think is unity. This is a kind of it is unity, but it's how you want to put it? It's unity without choice. It's a different unity. It don't make anybody free. It makes them captive. That kind of unity, you know, captivity. Yeah, unity. So it controls the political, the political and the religious. We talked about it. The political part, the political unity is going to be called Babylon. And the religious unity is going to be set upon many waters, which is peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So we see the Bible teaches that this final attempt at unity is going to be indeed worldwide. Worldwide. All right. And finally, I think for today, let's say there's not, there's not really a whole lot you can get in, and there are is a lot of interesting study, but as far as our ABCs, all we need to know when it comes to unity concerning man is that man tried to do it in the beginning and put God out, and it got him in trouble, and it's made him be in, it's kept him in trouble all the way down for thousands of years. Never changed. Man always tries to boot God out and come together. It's not, there's an old saying says, high fences make good neighbors. God told us to spread out, and he done it for our own good, to leave one another alone, stay away from one another, and be kind to one another, and be good neighbors, and this, that, and the other, but get over there and have your place and your own place. And then really, everybody that's running around like with their heads cut off and going crazy trying to earn all this money and get to this place that they can't imagine, that's all they want anyway, is their own place. Jesus said in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 17 when he was praying for us, was it John. John chapter 14 verse 3, the Lord said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." And of course, he's talking about us. So everybody wants their place, and even Jesus knew that. And Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Everybody wants a place. And that's what the Lord told us to do. See, the Lord knows what's in man. He knows this curse. He knows the sin that's in man. A man doesn't do very good with each other being what he is, sinful, and sin itself. We all, man is not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he is a sinner. If you go a whole day without sinning, you're still a sinner. It's what you are. It's not what you do. Even though that matters too, you see. That's why we need a Savior. And that's why we got one. But the Bible says in Revelation chapter 17 that all peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, that this thing is going to be worldwide. Now, finally, or not finally, but lastly, in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 through 8, listen to this. "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk," did you get that? "All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Remember, God said he was going to cast her into a bed, and whoever got in that bed with her, talking about this one world political system, one world religion, one world unity, the great whore. "Drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. Oh, that's the nice, gracious, lovey-dovey God that wouldn't hurt anybody, wants to kiss everybody and everything else. That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says reward her double for her works. And the cup which she hath filled, fill her double. Fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. This is your great whore that brings about this false unity among all nations, peoples, multitudes, and tongues. False unity. Man's final attempt at false unity. Now, we went from one extreme to the other and talked about a lot of different stuff today. But right there in the area of Revelation where the Bible talks about this beast, the Antichrist, and this that's going to exercise political power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, okay, that everybody's going to be involved in it, the whole entire world. This is what man's been trying to do. Well, when they got off of Noah got off of that boat, and the entire world was there for them to do good and to just enjoy life and have their own place and everything else, because man is a sinner and man doesn't know how to do good. I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. When it comes to man's flesh, he ain't got no choice but to do wrong. You're going to do wrong. You're going to pick to do wrong rather than right. But when we have the Holy Ghost and God, and we're born again, God the Holy Ghost helps us with that and gets us through all that kind of stuff. And we war against the flesh, don't we? And we get the victory. And the more that we study and we stay in God's Word and we understand these things, the stronger we get. And we depend on the Lord and lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord. And He is our strength. He's our strength. But we're not going to be involved in all this mess. Some people think that we're going to be present during all this stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord has, the Bible says, the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin. And I don't, that the Lord, that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So this is going to be a period of time where there's nothing but condemnation. There's going to be judgment and condemnation. That's what the tribulation period is all about. It's a time of judgment. The first 3 years are going to be like, woohoo, the kingdom has finally come in. This great whore is going to come about, and the beast is going to come about, and there's going to be the whore is going to finally, all this contracting is going to finally bring forth this ungodly person who the devil is going to incarnate. And the devil himself incarnated into this person, just like Christ. You know how he does. Not in the way of holiness, but in the way of wickedness and ungodliness. And is going to bring this one world unity together that all these people have been wanting, bringing in the kingdom. I don't believe God's going to let us be involved in any of that, because the scripture sees. I mean, if he made us stay here during all these judgments, then we would be being judged along with them. The Bible says all peoples and tongues and nations. That includes us if we're here. We're not going to be here. The Lord said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. So, we can't be judged. We've already been judged. Christ, our sins have been put on Christ. And Christ's righteousness has been put on us. We can't be judged. Or God's a liar. And he ain't no liar. So we see this one world final attempt, and it's coming about. Nothing for us to be scared about, because we're not going to be involved in it. Just do right, and do right because you want to, not because you have to. Stay in that Bible. Keep studying God's Word and learning about what your Lord says and the direction that He wants us to go in, okay? And we'll study together and in fellowship and enjoy God's Word. Now, the next thing that we're going to talk about, we've seen the first thing concerning unity, man's first attempt at unity. We've seen man's final attempt at unity. We studied it today, and we see that the Scriptures plainly teach us that this thing's going to come about, and it's going to be I don't have any big words for this stuff. It's going to be under the umbrella of unity. Of unity. So we'll talk about next time when we come together, true unity and false unity. We're going to see how the Bible lays it out for us of what true unity is and false unity. And we'll be starting into the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. Well, we read some New Testament today, but the book of Ephesians, and start bringing this unity together and finding out what the Bible says true unity is and false unity, and how you identify it, and how the Bible identifies it, and what to stay away from and what to cling to and come together. All right? So let me give you these verses for today. You ready? The first one is Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Then Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. And then Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. And then Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. And Revelation chapter 17, verse 5 again. Now, these are all in order as we studied today. If you had these papers, and you're welcome to them, by the way, let me mention that again. If you want these studies, email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and I'll send you these, and you can print them and have them right there in front of you as we study. Okay, where were we? Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Revelation 17, 5, and here's the next one. Revelation 17, verse 1 and 15. And Revelation 18, verse 2 through 8. And that's the last one that we read in the Lord's Word, in God's Word today. So let God be true and every man a liar. If anybody says anything against God's Word, we know who the liars are, don't we? God's Word is true from the beginning. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what is Jesus in the Trinity? Well, before Jesus is the name of a man. Whenever the Lord came down and got the Holy Ghost, impregnated under holiness now, overshadowed Mary, and she became pregnant with the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Ghost did. The Lord incarnated into a body. And when he was born and came out of the womb, they named him Jesus. What was his name prior to that in eternity? He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what was his name? Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? Amen. All right. Well, true unity and false unity coming up, and we'll talk about that on our next one, okay? So the Lord be kind to you and bless you like he does me. And I'm sure you could give testimony of God's goodness. Let's don't be ashamed of our Lord. We have nothing to be ashamed of. God's very kind to us and wonderful to us. Have a wonderful evening, and The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.